This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a beautiful and good day to be together, and it's my joy to welcome you to this time of worship. Whether you are joining us online or here in the sanctuary, I'm grateful that God is with us as we worship together today. I would like for each of you, as you're able, to register your attendance. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. If you'll pass those down and back again. And if you're worshiping online, there's a link there that you can place in your browser to register that way. It's always good to see your names, knowing that you're worshiping with us over live stream. A few announcements as we gather this morning. If you are a college student or a graduate student, we are beginning a new season of ministry together with you. And every Sunday during the academic year, we invite you to join us for a free lunch at noon. We'll have a gathering in the back of the sanctuary after the late service, and we'll take you to lunch after that for an opportunity of fellowship. We're calling it Chat and Chew, so it has a new name this year. And spread the word. I know, it's cute, isn't it? Spread the word, and we would love to welcome you. We have Wednesday night programming and ministries that are beginning. Our children's choirs are already up and running. In the month of September, we will be offering a meal, and Reverend Will McLean will be teaching a class called The Art of Belonging. There's information in your bulletin about that. We do need RSVPs for the meal. We'll have them brought in either from Moe's or Jason's Deli, depending on the week, so you'll know what's ahead on the menu there. We're looking forward to those gatherings once again. Also in your bulletin, you'll see a QR code that will take you to a survey for parents of children and youth or those who work in the ministries of children and youth to offer us some feedback and some wisdom and guidance as we begin a new season together and look to continue growing those ministries. Finally, I just wanted to let you know that most of your staff will be on retreat Monday and Tuesday, and we covet your prayers as we gather to rest, to pray, to plan, and look ahead to 2024. If you are looking for us, most of us will be available by cell phone, but there will be folks in the building. Our receptionists will be here answering the phones during the day, so if you need anything at all, they can reach us that way. We have our second week in the Gospel of Matthew this morning, and Jesus invites us into one of his parables that it might speak into our lives and shape who we are and how we treat one another. So let us open our hearts and minds to this parable of Jesus in this time of worship together.
Thank you. join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. Today we celebrate, O Lord, our acceptance into your family. Today we commit ourselves to the work of redemption you have already begun.
May our worship of you, O Lord, our hearts be more like you.
Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. O God, from your providing hand, even the dissatisfied and grumbling receive what they need for their lives. We recognize that at times our understanding of justice is steeped in judgment and punishment instead of grace and reconciliation. Teach us your ways of justice and lead us to practice your generosity so that we may live lives worthy of the gospel made known through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. And that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. And this morning, Abby and Mark Stevens bring their daughter before God and before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Abby and Mark, I ask you now on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say we do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say we do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say we do. And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say we will. And my friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life, and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in service with others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. Let's do it this way. What name have you given your daughter?
Elizabeth Parrish.
Elizabeth Parrish Stevens. I baptize you in the name of God, the Father who created you, Christ, the Son and Redeemer who saves you, and the Holy Spirit who will live within you all the days of your life. Amen. Okay, Miss Liddy, we're going to let Mom and Dad and Big Brother lay a hand on you, as together we're going to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Liddy, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. Okay, maybe I'll hold you upright this time. There we go. Oh, there's Mom and Dad. Oh, hi. Now we're going to go for a little walk, if you don't mind. They're not going to be far away, I promise. And I want to show you some more people who also already love you. Liddy, this is your church family. Yeah, see? She's pointing right to you. She already loves you, too. You want to point to the person who's going to be your confirmation mentor? You can pick them right now. Some of these folks are going to teach you Sunday school. Some are going to take you on youth mission trips. We're all going to do our best to love you just as you are and to help you love God and serve other people in love so much that we get to do together. So let's listen as this church family of yours stands and makes a promise to you and to God.
Commendation and welcome. Stand and face Elizabeth Parrish. Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Elizabeth Parrish to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given to you, Elizabeth Parrish, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination
and it's found in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the New Testament, Matthew 20, 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. And when he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." And he said back to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now, when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give the last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd love to have a few moments with the children. So if you're here in the sanctuary and want to come up and join me up here, I would love to see you. And if you're worshiping from home, just move a little closer to your screen because this moment is for you. Come on up. Oh boy, I think we got lots of people today. This is so exciting. I hope you all were able to see that sweet little baby Liddy. She's a sweet baby. All of us were sweet babies at one time or another, weren't we? Good to see you. Okay. One of the ways that Jesus taught people was by telling stories. And so Mr. Rob just read one of Jesus' stories, and I'm going to tell you a story that's kind of like it to see if we can figure out what Jesus is trying to say. So I'm going to make it up and make it about something that happens today. So once upon a time, there was a little boy named Bobby, and he got invited by one of his really good friends named Lucy to come to her birthday party. In fact, they were such good friends that Lucy said, "Do you think you could come to my house early and help us decorate? If you come early, I'll give you a big piece of cake when we cut the cake. We really need the help." And so Bobby was so excited because he loved birthday parties and he loved cake. So he got to the house early and he helped them decorate. He helped them serve all the punch and everything. And then it came time for the cutting of the cake. So he's sitting around the table with everybody else who was at the birthday party. There were a couple of people at the birthday party who really weren't even invited at first, but they were Lucy's next door neighbors, and she saw them out in their yard, and she said, well, come on, you can come to my birthday party too. So they're all there, and Lucy's cutting the cake, and lo and behold, everybody gets the same size piece of cake. And Bobby sort of looks around, and he sees those people that came in really late. They weren't even first invited, and he kind of gets upset because he'd been there all day, and he'd been helping decorate, and she told him she'd give him a big piece of cake, and now he felt like it wasn't really fair. But after the party, Lucy said, what's wrong? And he said, well, it just seemed unfair that my piece of cake was not any bigger than anybody else's. And she said, well, gosh, I just said, you know, if you help me, I'll give you a piece of cake. And I was so happy to have these new people, too. And there was plenty of cake to go around. Jesus told this story for lots of reasons. And I'm going to talk about some of those a little bit more with the grown-ups. But one of the things I think Jesus is trying to tell us is it's not a good thing to compare ourselves, to look over and see, oh, they got a bigger piece than I did. I've done that sometimes. Maybe you have, too. But when it comes to life with God, God loves everybody unconditionally and no more or no less than anybody else. So one of the things we can try to do is not compare ourselves to other people and just be so grateful for God's love for us. If Bobby had just been grateful for this big piece of cake he'd gotten and never looked at what anybody else got, I think he might have had a better time at the party. Let's pray together. Gracious God, you love us all so much more than we can even measure. You love everybody. You love us too. So help us to be grateful for your love, not to worry about comparing ourselves with anybody else, but just to be thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go with Pastor Stacy and Pastor Maggie, who's over there, and Miss Sarah, looks like. And go to children's church. And if you're older than that, you can go back and sit with parents or friends. It was a few months ago that I sat down and decided which texts I was going to preach in the New Testament. I did some planning and praying about what I felt God was calling me to preach. And so I made a decision to preach on this particular parable. And it struck me as I was working on the sermon that this is my one opportunity to preach on the Gospel of Matthew in all of 2023. Isn't that something? One shot at Matthew. I knew the bishop was going to be with us and would be preaching from the Sermon on the Mount or something in the first part of the gospel. So I decided I wanted to pick one of the parables of Jesus that only appeared in Matthew's gospel. And lo and behold, it's this one. This one that is so prickly and difficult, and I don't know about you, but makes me pretty uncomfortable. But I wanted to choose a parable because Jesus did so much of his teaching through parables. And of course, there are times when he says things like, do not judge, or love your enemies, or do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. But for the most part, his teaching is in the form of a story. And he invites us into the story to draw our own conclusions, to meet him halfway in the story and to see how the story speaks into our own experience, our own lives. It's as if Jesus says, come on into this parable and walk around with me and see what you see. So a lot of the times with parables, we can place ourselves in the story as one or the other of the characters and just see how the parable shapes us and begins to transform us. But this parable in Matthew is a little bit different, I think. The way Jesus tells the story, I think he is driving us to a particular entry point in the story. I think he wants us to identify with those workers who were hired first. He tells the story mostly from their perspective. So let's step into the parable, trusting that Jesus is alongside of us, and see what we see as these laborers hired first. You arrive in the marketplace early in the morning, hoping that you'll be hired for the day, that you could receive the usual daily wage, a denarius, which isn't a lot. It's a subsistence wage. But you know that if you get that job, you'll have what you need for the day to feed your family. And then you can get up again the next day and do it all over again. So you stand there waiting, and you see a farmer arrive looking to hire laborers for the day. And so you stand up tall, maybe flex your muscles to show how strong you are, that you'll be a good person to work in the field, and he hires you first thing. And you have that assurance that you've got work to do all day and that at the end of the day, you will get what you need. He says, I will give you the usual daily wage, a denarius. So all that's left for you to do is just work hard all day long. Now you notice throughout the day that the farmer comes and goes, and every time he comes back, he brings more people to do the work. It's curious. Usually a farmer would send a manager to do that, but not this farmer. But you're just working too hard. You don't worry about that so much. You do realize and recognize at the end of the day how odd this is, that at 5 o'clock, here comes the farmer with even more workers. A little raggedy bunch, but and it's kind of odd, but whatever. So the end of the day comes, it's time to get paid. And for some reason, the manager lines you up from those hired at 5 o'clock to you at the back of the line, the ones who've worked all day. And you can see up there, that guy who came at 5 o'clock got paid a denarius, a full day's wage for 1 hour's work. Now let's pause for a second. Where does your head go? To math. Mine does. 1 hour, one denarius. I work 10 hours. 10 times as much. I'm going to get 10 times as much because I've been here 10 times longer and I've done 10 times the work. But you get to the front of the line and you get a denarius. Now, how do you feel? This parable, I think, invites us into that moment to consider how we feel. I am angry and resentful. It's not fair. And we know that. We know this is not how society works. This is not how the economy works. It's equal pay for equal work. If there were an employer today who paid for 1 hour the same as someone who worked for 10 hours, they'd have a lawsuit on their hands, most likely. It's not fair. It doesn't make for a good economy. And so like these first hired laborers, we know that feeling of resentment and that grumbling. We understand why they're grumbling. But then Jesus turns the parable on its head. And suddenly we hear the logic of the farmer. Look, I paid you what I said I would. We had a contract. You work the day. I'll give you a day's wage. Is it any of your business? Is it your problem? Anything for you to be concerned about that I choose to give to these others the same that I give to you? But we want to say, but you have made them equal to us. We're in a different economy in this parable. We're not in the economy of the world. We're in the economy of the kingdom of God. For Jesus said at the very beginning, the kingdom of God is like this. And so what do we do with this? With this very real feeling of resentment and deserving and unfairness? Jesus seems to have told this parable for the sake of the insiders. It seems to be aimed at the insiders. This is a point in the gospel where he's getting confronted a lot by some of the Pharisees and religious leaders. And perhaps he tells this parable, as he does other parables, to let them know that they're not the most important in the kingdom of God. Yes, they have been faithful. They have worshiped God all of these years. They've been faithful in the work they've been doing. And all of these tax collectors and sinners that Jesus is hanging out with are just as beloved in the eyes of God as they are. Matthew chooses this parable to convey to us because most scholars believe he was writing to an audience that was predominantly Jewish Christian. So these were folks who had been in relationship with Yahweh for generations, who had the practices of the commandments and the food laws and all of these things. And as the church began to grow, all of these Gentiles started receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. And teachers like the Apostle Paul were saying, these Gentiles belong just as much as you who've been around forever. And some of these Jewish Christians were resentful and they didn't like that. And they wanted these new folks to obey all the laws that they'd been obeying all of these years. And so the parable comes down to us and we ask ourselves, who are we as the insiders? Do we have this spirit in the church that we're all part of? The church that is built on the economy of God, where everyone who walks in the door and everyone who doesn't walk in the door is a beloved child of God, treasured by God just as much as we are. How does this parable shape us and help us see who we are and who God is calling us to be? How can this parable begin to work on us and transform us, transform me? I have to wonder, what if things were different for those who were first hired? What if, like I shared with the children about the birthday cake, what if they were to move from grumbling to gratitude? What if they were to remember how they felt when they were first hired in the labor pool that morning? Yes, I've got a day's work. Yes, I know I'm going to receive what I need for today. What if that's all that mattered? And they weren't paying attention what everybody else was paid. They just got their daily's wage and they went home happy and satisfied, knowing that they had enough. What's the invitation to you and me to move into gratitude and away from grumbling? What if those who were hired first were in relationship with the people who were hired last? What if they took the time to learn their stories? Or what if they were already neighbors and they had a friendship and relationship? Maybe this one who was hired last was late to the labor pool because he's taking care of a sick parent. And you were worried about your friend not getting what he needed for that day. And so when you see him walking in at 5 o'clock, yes, he got hired, even if it's just for a little bit. And then when you see him get paid a full day's wage, you rejoice with him for the grace and generosity of the farmer. What if we were to know what it was like to stand in the marketplace for 9 hours and not get hired? Were you ever one of those kids who didn't get picked for the kickball team? Do you know what it's like to get picked over and passed over again and again? What if those first workers had compassion for the stressful 9 hours that those others had been through, so that when they stepped out onto the field, we rejoiced with their good fortune? What if those laborers who were hired first rejoiced every time a new group of folks came to work in the fields? There's so much work to do. We got more help. Come on, let's do what we can. Someone in Tuesday morning Bible study was talking about how he used to wait tables. And every time someone came to join the shift, he was like, thank goodness, somebody else to help in the work. What if we were to see those who come to join the work of God in building the kingdom as partners in ministry who can help us spread the love of God even further, even deeper in our world? Those are the things that this parable calls me to consider, to shift my perspective. As someone who's been in church all my life, every Sunday, every Wednesday night, children's choirs, youth choirs, all the time I've spent working, and I'm just as beautiful and valued as the person who steps off the street and has never sung a hymn before. There's an opportunity, my friends, to create a community that's totally different from the world around us built on the economy of God, the economy of undeserved, unmerited grace that is poured out with generosity for all. As Jesus often said at the end of his parables, may those of us who have ears hear the invitation of this parable and be grateful and rejoicing as we go out to work together and bring in the harvest for the sake of God. Amen.
As we respond to the word, I invite you to stand and recite with me the affirmation of faith as found in your bulletin or on page 883 of your hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to our time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to be prayed for throughout the week, you can follow the link on our website by clicking Contact Us, or else you can grab a gray pew card that's sitting in front of you and place it in the offering plates as they are passed. I want to point your attention to the prayer list in the bulletin this week. Please keep these names and situations in your heart throughout the week, praying for the realization of God's presence in each situation. We want to especially lift up Betty Dobson and her family as they mourn the loss of her sister, Joyce Smith Lovett, on Saturday, August 19th. Services were held in Statesboro, Georgia. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. We give thanks, O Lord, with our whole hearts. Before all things, we sing your praise. God, today we turn our hearts to you in thanksgiving. We know that we are not here by accident, but you have drawn us into this place to be reminded of your glory and to humble ourselves in the knowledge of who you are. Lord, we ask that you take the prayers we pray, the words we sing, and the meditations of our hearts as a thank offering for the grace and love that you have showered on us. We are recipients of your grace in so many undeserved ways. Even when we fall short of the goal of being like you, you still seek to fill our cup. You still seek to show us the fullness of your love. Help us to remember that when we don't feel like we're enough, when we don't feel like we deserve your love, when we begin to look down on ourselves, help us to have eyes like yours to see ourselves and others the way you would have them be seen. Change our hearts and minds to be more compassionate to ourselves so that we can be compassionate to those around us. Oh God, in this moment of being in your presence, we acknowledge the blessing it is to be able to offer ourselves to you as broken and incomplete as we are. We know you are working in us, walking us through difficult situations and celebrating with us when our hearts are overjoyed. In this place where you call us to trust, we offer up to you those places in our lives, thanking you for your ever-present love, and asking you to reveal yourself to us in this moment. We give thanks today. We give ourselves to you, God, remembering that you have called us to give ourselves to others. So God, as we came into these doors today with open hearts and minds, we ask that you would continue to keep our hearts and minds open as we walk out the doors and seek to share your love with the world around us. And as we give you thanks today, we close with a prayer as one body, using the words you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on the screen. While here in the sanctuary, we will pass offering plates down the rows. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous to us. Thank you. One of the joys that we have as a church is we got to see a child join our church this morning, and we also get to enjoy welcoming others in membership here this morning. We've got two that are joining us in this service, and we have a number joining us at the 11 o'clock service, so we're so excited that our family is growing and that God's kingdom is growing. Chris Dean is a native Nashvillean, and Shayla Soriana is from New York City. They're engaged to be married in New York City in November, and we are so excited to be a part of that and that you have chosen to be a part of our community. Chris will become an associate member of West End, which allows him to keep his membership at his home church. A couple of questions. First off, we are thankful. We are thankful that you have made this community your home and pray that God's light shines through you in powerful ways while you're here in ministry with us. Chris and Shayla, as a member of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. As members of the body of Christ in this congregation called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. And to all of us here, please rise in body or in spirit and join me in welcoming our newest members by what's found in your bulletin. Family of God, Chris and Shayla are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Amen. God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. At the end of the service, I want to invite you all to please join Chris, Shayla, and myself out on the Reed Hall and invite them to get to know you better and welcome them into this family. And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that we may be the loving light of Christ in the world.
Thank you.
We have had the privilege of being part of this community built on God's grace. So knowing that we are beloved and covered in God's grace, let us go forth out into the world, for there is much work to do. Be grateful for the work that we have, knowing it is grace that we share. Go in peace. Amen.